So please turn with me tonight to Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. There are two verses which will really be the heart of our thinking tonight. As I have chosen the subject, drawn actually from verse 13, delivered from darkness, delivered from the power of darkness. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So my dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, this is the gospel. The gospel, the gracious, glorious gospel from a gracious God, a generous God, a great God. This is in verse 13 and 14. Oh, it's gold, really. It's gold. There is gold for our souls there. It tells us what the Lord has done for needy sinners, you and me. If we want to find fellowship with God, if we want to have our sins forgiven, it's all here. Colossians 1, verse 13 and 14. But in these verses, you find also salvation defined. It is fulfilled. It is explained. But it is also applied. So all those terms could be really used again for these two verses. But the verses also answer the question, how can I please God? How can I be righteous before the Holy One? You know, God is holy. Bible tells us he is thrice holy, but we are polluted. We are wicked. Oh, we are not the little lovely ones. Indeed, sin has destroyed us, destroyed our minds, our hearts, our wills. All of our beings, head, toes, everywhere, every part of us has been ruined by sin. So how can I please God, the living God, my creator, my designer, my maker? How to have fellowship with him? But Paul is really a great example of appreciation and appreciating what God has done for sinners. Twice in this chapter, when he thinks about the liberation, the freedom, how God has set us free from the chains of sin, he gives thanks to God. I spoke this morning about one of them, but in verse 3 you find his thanksgiving. There is a second one, I said this morning, that five times at least in this letter, Paul calls us to give thanks to God. And the second one is given to us in verse 12, Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Why? Because of salvation. Because of those great things God has done for us to be liberated, to be emancipated, to be set free from the bondage of sin and from the pollution of sin and transgressions and iniquities. But before really I go deeper into the text, it's not only that salvation is defined, fulfilled, explained, and applied, or it answers the question of how can I please God, but Paul draws also a contrast between two entities, between two kingdoms, between two persons. I may really spot them out for you easily. There is a contrast and a conflict between Satan, the prince of the air. That's how the Bible calls it. He has just the air, which means he has no power in a sense in before God. God is greater. God is almighty. But this is how he is called in the word of God, the prince of the air. But he is in conflict and in contrast with God, with the Son of God. But you have also a contrast between light and darkness. Darkness meaning what? Chaos, shame, disaster, confusion, evil, and the devil also. But you find also a contrast between two kingdoms. The kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of evil. Please, the preacher doesn't have paranoia about evil. I don't see evil everywhere, because this is sometimes what people, oh, it's just evil, evil. But there are good things happening in this world. But please, there is a conflict between evil and the kingdom of evil and the kingdom of God. So when we speak about the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of evil, in conflict with the kingdom of light, it means there is also a contrast and a conflict between two kings. One king is a despot. One king is a tyrant. One king is destitute. He has a power just to crush all the people, never to do good. That's why in John chapter 8, the devil is called the father of all lies. He only lies to us. But then the other king, loving king, the Lord Jesus Christ, a compassionate king, marvelous king, an adorable king, who wants to do good. He wants to help us. He feels for us in our faith and in our condition. He doesn't want us to continue just living for the here and now. So all these things are spelled for us in these two verses. But my dear friends, a war is raging. You may not be aware, if you have never read the Bible or you are not interested in spiritual things, but really, we shouldn't deceive ourselves. There is a war raging to arrest our souls, to occupy our souls, to take our souls, and to keep us in what? In total darkness. And it's a reality. It's not just a fairy tale. It's not a fiction made by preachers. It is a reality. That's why the verse tells us, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? So every word, I believe, in these two verses is important. Hopefully, it will give us and it will show us the way to escape. There is a way to escape. There is a way to let the light of Christ shine upon us. There is a way to see the marvelous light, the wonderful light of God in terms of relation with Him. And the first element I would like to put before us is this, the power of darkness. That's what the verse is. Darkness has power. I hope, and I say this with wholeheartedly, feelingfully, I hope everyone here appreciates the Bible for one reason at least, even if you are not a Christian. The Bible is an honest book. It tells us things without flattering us, without any camouflage. Can I tell you one of those things the Bible tells us? That this world is the jurisdiction of darkness. And we can spell out so many verses. In Isaiah 60, we are told the whole earth, not just a part or some parts of the earth, are in darkness, but the whole earth. Please, we are speaking in spiritual terms, about spiritual matters. John chapter 3, verse 19, the Lord Jesus said, the light came, but men prefer darkness. You know why? So I'm anticipating, of course, because if you don't want to come to Christ tonight, that verse says you don't want to come because you don't want your evil deeds to be enlightened, to be shown in public, to be discovered. That's why you are happy to continue in your secret sin, in your way of doing things, and in your way of dealing with your own personality. We have a soul, and that soul needs to be liberated. So this world, 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is a great apostle. He said, we were children of darkness. We were in darkness. So without Christ, and I'm saying this respectfully, outside the Lord Jesus Christ, you and me are in complete darkness. Yes, you have eyes to see, you have emotions, you have sentiments, you have feelings, you may do well in life, but actually, in terms of your relationship with God, is complete darkness. But the interesting thing, Paul is not speaking just like in an ivory tower, telling people, you are in darkness, I'm all right. But you can see in the text here, he says, who hath delivered us? He includes himself. And this reminds me, actually, Romans 3, verse 23. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short to the glory of God. No one is immune. No one is exempt from sin. We are all in the same boat, in the same shoes, in terms of our sinfulness, living in a sin-sick world. So that's why we need liberation. We need to be delivered from the darkness. In spite of all its lights, the bulbs everywhere, the street lights, and all the technology, the telemetry, the plants, the power plants, and so on. We live in a dark world, and you don't need me really to tell you that. You can see that whatever you watch, whatever you read in the news is all about wickedness, evil, pollution, hatred, jealousy, envy, covetous, and so on. So we cannot escape. We are a part of the world. So we need to be set free from this thing. Chained in sin, evil lusts, vices, vanity, viciousness, superstitions, rebellion. And we are just attracted by the here and now. Most people live for the present. But Bible tells us, that's wonderful that I'm not an animal. I'm not just here to enjoy this present life. There is life after death. That's why Bible says it is appointed unto men to die once. Then comes what? Judgment. We will face God one day. And I'm not saying this to scare anyone, but it is the reality. We know that from the word of God. Sin is missing the mark. Sin is the guilt. It is defilement. It is darkness. It is captivity. It is slavery. It is bondage. That's what sin does to people. But God is holy. God is mighty. God is love. The only book which tells you that God is love is the Bible. You can read every sorts of books in the world, every religious book. Only the Bible tells you that God is love and he has done something to deliver us from the darkness. But to be in darkness means also to be ignorant. Oh, I'm saying this carefully. When I say to be ignorant, is that people are so well educated in our world. But you know, they miss the basic things, which are what? Why am I here? Where am I going? Is there a God to whom I should be accountable to? What is coming after? These are basic questions, really. But you ask people with PhDs and so, oh no, we are evolved animals. We are just super animals, just here. Oh, you die? That's it. It's the end of it. No, even nature tells us that death is not the end of everything. There is life after death. So I think enough is said on that. But these verses will help us to understand the purpose of our life. Why are we here? Where are we going? So we need to be delivered because, first of all, we are in darkness. And the second element is in verse 13 also. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us? It is in the past tense. I'm sure you have noticed that. It is done. It is something done already. So we can only enjoy it and appropriate it because it is given to us. But that word is delivered is a beautiful word. It is a wonderful word, a powerful word. Why? Because the word means actually rescued, saved, pulled out from, dragged out from, snatched out from. These are synonym words, really, we could use about the word delivered. But you see, we are so entangled with sin that God must do something to liberate us, to help us to be delivered. I smile about it because some people, they say, oh, I will stop whenever I want. New Year, People make resolutions, you know, and even somebody tell me, I'm waiting, 2017, I will become a Christian. 2017, I will stop doing that, this and that. But this is deceit. By yourself, you cannot stop anything. Why? Because the grips are too tight. King sin is ruling over you and me. Unless we find freedom, unless we find deliverance by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the work he has done on the cross of Calvary. So we cannot just stop because we want. My dear friends, real freedom, people think to be free is to be independent from God. But you know, to be independent from God is actually slavery. Because you are slave to yourself, you are slave to God, to the world, you are slave to your own vices, you are slave to your whims. You don't know where you are going, and you do not have any internal strength to be able to come out from the darkness. So, but the Lord Jesus can help you to do so by his might. He came from heaven to earth, and he died on the cross of Calvary. That's why as soon as the bulb light of the gospel is put on in a soul, you know what happens? Darkness is removed. Darkness is dissipated. Darkness is dispelled and thrown away. You know, darkness cannot resist the light. When you go home, you can see that. As soon as you put on the light, darkness vanishes. So that's what the gospel does, to liberate us. But I must move on because there is a third term here. The power of darkness, I need deliverance. And the Lord Jesus Christ has done that deliverance. But look at verse 13 again. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us. God has done what we could not do. I thought only languages need translation, but people are also translated. That's what the verse says. But this word translated means actually transferred. It means transported. In order to liberate us and to deliver us, to rescue us, to save us, there was a rescue and a transfer operation. But the beauty, do you see? When somebody is translated, he is moved from one location. Please, I'm speaking again, not about a physical location, but a spiritual location. A rescued person, a saved person, is deported from one location where he was in darkness, and he is moved to a new camp, a new location, and a new kingdom. And we are specified what kind of kingdom the Lord will move us into and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And this is a kingdom made of light, of love. It is the kingdom of God. And that is done for us because Christ has done it. So conversion shifts everything in a person's life. Salvation is the greatest migration in a person's life. Once you come to Christ tonight, something great happens to you. You are transferred and transformed and moved from bad to better, from ruin to rescue, from death to life, from bondage to liberty, from hell to heaven. And again, if you are here practicing or believing in any other religion, Christianity, according to the Bible, is the only religion which tells you where you will spend life after death while you are still alive. Every other religion, maybe, perhaps, if God wills, nobody knows. But here you can see you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He transfers you, he translates you, and he transports you into his kingdom. And now, while you are still breathing, while you are still in this world, even before you died, you know where you will spend life after eternity. And God has done it out of love for us. So God to look over a wretch like us. Oh, this is so great. Christ paid that enormous price on the cross of Calvary. Just speaking about it, I think it's too much. There is too much for me even to think about it. It's so wonderful that you and me, and not just you and me, millions, maybe billions, who knows, who have trusted in the Lord. Now, those who are passed away are with the Lord in heaven, and they are enjoying new sense, new hearts there. They are seeing things which are indescribable in this world. They are with Christ. They can worship him, serve him day and night. But I must move on because there is still verse 14. And there are four words. My dear brothers and sisters, dear friend, if you are unconverted tonight, there are four words there which will help you to understand again what Christ has done in order to deliver you and to save you from your sins. And each one of those words could be a whole sermon. They are so beautiful and so great to speak about them. In verse 14, the first one, I'm not going in order, but the first one is redemption. It's a beautiful word, wonderful word. But the word redemption means to be released. Remember we said, without Christ, outside Christ, we are in darkness. We are in bondage. We are slaves. We are in chains. But now, with redemption, something great happens. It is a commercial term in relation to slavery. When you hear redemption, to be redeemed, in Bible times, it is always in relation to slavery. Which again, you want it or not, according to the Bible, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are just a slave. Slave of yourself, slave of this world, slave of your own whims. But something great is going to happen. For a slave to be set free, again, in biblical times, for a slave to be set free, a ransom price must be paid. But you see, somebody in chains in the market, that's the picture actually, in the market as a slave standing there, he couldn't pay for it. That's why you and me, we are impotent when it comes to set ourselves free. So someone else must pay that price. And guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is omnipotent, came and paid the perfect price to set us free immediately, instantly. As soon as I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I repent from my sins and I trust the fact that he died on that tree, on the cross of Calvary where his blood was shed. Bible says, instantly I'm moved from darkness to light. Because of what Christ has done. And we put it this way in Bible terms. There was on that cross a sweet transaction. Christ took upon himself our hell. He took upon himself our guilt, our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities. And then he passed on unto us his righteousness, his forgiveness. So that's the first word which we need to remember in order to be delivered, to be saved. Redemption. Saved. Rescued. Liberated. And the price was paid. I couldn't pay it. No one could have paid it. But the second word given to us in verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The blood of the Lamb. Unblemished, without spot, without blemish and without spot, Peter tells us. So this is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, God saved us not by giving us something. He gave us himself without the shedding of blood. Hebrews 9:21, no remission of sin. And Christ paid that price, and he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. We were not redeemed with corruptible things. My dear brothers and sisters, all the tears of the world, all the supplications, all the prayers, all the blood of all animals in the world, gold and silver, nothing could pay for the price of a soul. What about millions and billions of them? There is only one blood. Please never think the Bible is a bloody book. No, there is only one blood which is important. The blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that blood was shed on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins and to redeem us. Nothing but the blood of Jesus who died and rose again. But the third word which is mentioned there, or expression, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Did you notice? It is in plural. The millions, the mountain of sins I have on me, just me, not counting again the whole world. As you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you shall receive the forgiveness of sins by his precious blood. And he paid that price on the cross of Calvary. Oh, forgiveness of sins is the outcome of redemption and the greatest benefit of salvation. God says he will remember our sins no more. No more. You and me, we remember the slightest mistake somebody has done against us. But God says, I will remember them no more. I will wash you clean. No more. You will appear before God perfect, as if you have never done the slightest sin in your life. Only, again, the Bible religion gives us such assurance. Nowhere else. So we can come to him. And once we are forgiven, our sins are blotted away, then I receive peace with God, but peace from God. And then I'm justified. That's what the Bible says. But there is the fourth word. It is a pronoun in verse 14. I did it by purpose not to mention it as first. But see the pronoun there, the relative pronoun. In whom? And that stands for the Lord Jesus Christ. In whom? Only him, no one else. There are many religions, yes. We confess that, we agree with that. But there is only one saving religion. And this text says, in whom and him alone, he is the God-man, the second person of the Godhead. He is unique, he is exceptional. He is the messenger and the message. He is the teacher and the lesson. He is God, he is the high priest, he is the sacrifice, he is the offering. He offered himself on the cross of Calvary. So we can come to him and find salvation. He suffered the agony as a penalty for our sins. In him, no more barriers to forgiveness. No more checkpoints. That's in this world. But no more because of his death, which is a warrant, a guarantee. He's the guarantor that whosoever believeth on him shall be saved. Please, I want to close with this. What do I gain if I come to Christ tonight? What are the benefits? If you come to Christ, you will receive good health, prosperity, better job. Oh, no, no, no. There is something greater. If I come to Christ tonight, you know, the world has nothing to offer. Nothing in comparison to what the Lord offers. If you come to Christ in repentance, trusting in him, you receive life. You receive light. You receive love, everlasting love. But if I come to Christ tonight in repentance, oh, before I was in the kingdom of darkness, but I'm moved into the kingdom of light. Before I was a child of anger, a child of disobedience, a child of wrath, a child who will be doomed and condemned. But now, as I trust in him, the benefit, I become a child of God. I'm adopted in his kingdom of light. And you see in verse 12, we are told, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us to me to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now I'm in light. I'm with many saints in the kingdom of God, and God has an inheritance for me that I will be preserved for that inheritance which is reserved for me in heaven. No religion gives you such benefits. But I come to Christ also tonight. From alien, I'm given new citizenship, transferred into a heavenly kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness, of peace, and of joy by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. So nothing in comparison to this world. So rescued, redeemed, forgiven, freed, and transferred. And when you leave this world, you know now, what can you say? All is well with my soul. All is well with my soul. Not because I deserve it, but Christ paid the price. So all is well with my soul. The day I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, before that I was a heavy person, heavy deep down in my heart. But when I came to him, when he said, come unto me, oh, I became light. That burden was removed from me. I could see now I'm not so original. I'm not the good one. I need God. Save me, Lord, I said. Save me. Make me a child of God. And the Lord did it. And the good thing, it will never be undone. No ex-children of God. Always. Oh, I close with this. These things, my dear friends, should really make you and me to haste swiftly and earnestly to come to the Lord tonight. What keeps you away from such a loving God? Why do you live homeless while there is a refuge, there is a home? Why do you want to die of hunger while there is plenty of food in the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do you want to live in darkness while there is light? Oh, come to him tonight. And Bible says, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shall shine upon you. And the darkness of Satan in your heart, no matter who you are, as child, as adult, or all alike, we come, that dominion of Satan will be removed from us. That's why you remember our title, Delivered from the Power of Darkness. So come to him. Christ paid the price. Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord. We marvel again and again that there is salvation for us. Oh Lord, we pray that these things will not leave us untouched and unmoved. Deal tenderly with us. Speak to us by the power of the Spirit, and make us to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know him as Lord and Savior. Oh Lord, speak to every child in this congregation. Speak to every adult. Speak to every man and woman that there is a way to be liberated, to be rescued, and it's only by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for such a great Savior, and we pray these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. Let's sing together our last hymn, hymn number 116, version 3. Hymn 116, version 3. Redeemed from guilt, redeemed from fears.